Banks are closed in Greece, and the flow of capital to and from Greece is now limited as the European debt crisis escalates. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. With the Greek public now being asked to vote on Sunday to approve or to reject the tough terms of the European Union's latest financial bailout, the immediate question is how to keep the economy going between now and then. Banks are shut, although debit and credit cards should work, with withdrawals limited to 60 euros a day per card or $66. Many Greeks had also prepared for this possibility by taking out cash in recent weeks, but businesses will have trouble functioning. And in a violation of one of the core rules of membership in the European Union, Greece overnight imposed limits on the international flow of capital. In an extraordinary news conference this morning, the president of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, said he felt betrayed by the breakdown in trust.
We hear reference made to an ultimatum, a take-it-or-leave-it agreement. We've heard reference to blackmail. But who's involved in that? Who?
The EC chief went on to suggest that it was the Greek government who'd misled its citizens. Greece's finance minister had said previously that it was the EU that failed to meet his country even halfway. Now let's welcome Julian Emanuel, Executive Director, U.S. Equity and Derivative Strategy at UBS Securities, with reaction to this early drop on stock markets.
Good morning, David.
So the world has to think very clearly today about the possibility that Greek voters reject Europe's bailout terms and that Greece might fall from the European single currency.
UBS looks at it as there's a 40% chance that Greece will exit the euro. But on the other hand, that gets you to an 84% chance that there won't be disorderly markets. When we look at the numbers this morning, we like to think of the U.S. as sort of an area of calm in the stormy global sea.
Yeah, because there is an underlying economy here. It's not just world events and our trading partners that come to bear on this question. We have to look at the situation with jobs and the situation with profits in the U.S.
And the jobs market is good. The profits, the bar is set very low for an earnings season that's going to begin reporting in July. And it's definitely an indication that despite all these issues, despite weakness in Chinese equities, despite the potential for developments in Greece, that the U.S. economy continues to hum along. And the expectation is that these international issues will, in fact, work themselves out.
Julian Emanuel at UBS Securities, thank you.
Thank you, David.
In possibly just a few minutes, the U.S. Supreme Court is expected to issue a decision that could affect public health and cost or save American utility companies billions of dollars, Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
At stake are Environmental Protection Agency regulations of power plant emissions that could cost nearly $10 billion a year. Dallas Bertraw is a senior fellow at Resources for the Future.
This is one of the most expensive regulations that we've had under the Clean Air Act.
The basic question before the court is whether the EPA should have first given more consideration to the cost of cutting emissions before it decided to regulate.
If this challenge were upheld, it would seem to imply that the EPA would need to consider the full range of policy options and all of their costs and benefits before even deciding whether to regulate a pollutant.
That would change things, but don't expect older, dirty plants to fire up again, says Christine Tizak, managing director at Clearview Energy Partners.
So we certainly expect that power plants that are retired stay retired.
And much of the work to get plants up to code has already begun. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. Police departments are busy ordering body cameras and dash cams for their cars. Prices are coming down as more suppliers jump into the market. And those tiny video cams are also spreading into many workplaces that have nothing to do with police departments, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The tiny cameras can be mounted on a dashboard or an office door or up in the ceiling of a factory. And demand from employers is expanding, says Cornell Labor Studies professor Kate Bronfenbrenner.
Hospitals, retail, we're seeing them in manufacturing, we see them in every industry.
Bronfenbrenner is not a fan. She says some employers have installed cameras where workers congregate to discourage union organizing, especially in warehousing and fast food.
When they're in the service sector, they're violating not only the privacy of the worker, they're violating the privacy of the customer.
Still, says social psychologist Jack Aiello at Rutgers University, video monitoring can make companies and workers safer, especially where high security is needed. Drug manufacturing, power plants, commuter trains. But he also sees a downside. He served as an expert witness in a case where workers at a power company were videotaped in a locker room.
They became paranoid and some of them were looking behind mirrors and people start to feel a big brother mentality that somebody is over my shoulder all the time. And that creates stress.
Lou Maltby at the Work Rights Institute says video monitoring may be necessary to protect vulnerable people, the elderly in nursing homes, kids in preschool.
It's kind of creepy to tape the teachers, but there may be a legitimate reason for it. How else are you going to know if the teachers are treating the children the way they should?
And how about using video to see how commercial fishermen are treating the environment?
We're putting cameras on my vessel here, I think, next month.
Brad Pettinger runs a fishing trawler out of Brookings, Oregon. He's now under strict catch quotas to protect fish stocks. Video's going to monitor that.
There will be sensors on the winches, so when you kick in the hydraulics to set the net, the camera comes on until the vessel returns to port.
Pettinger says the cams will sweep the deck and capture high-res images of dying fish, tangled nets, and cursing fishermen. Could be a little embarrassing. Could be a new reality TV show. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And with all this tension in markets with Greece and now Puerto Rico's governor telling the New York Times his Commonwealth can't pay what it owes on $72 billion in debt, there's this. A global regulator called the Bank for International Settlements has put out a stark warning, saying financial authorities have run out of tools to fight future financial crises. The problem is interest rates were lowered to next to nothing and rates can't go down much more. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.